It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Friday, everybody. TGIF here on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester, and we are coming to you live on KFH for the next couple hours here, getting you ready for what we'd say is a big weekend, but the weekend starts today. Two college football games of interest to us, maybe one of the biggest college football games, if not the biggest college football game of the week as far as two ranked teams and all that goes tonight. But we think we'll get a couple of really good games. KU, K-State, both in action. We'll get into that throughout the show. We will get you ready for a Chiefs-Bengals showdown. All kinds of good stuff today. We'll make our picks. TJ Cleland going to join us in the second hour, as well as Paul Savage. We have Brandon Zinner's picks. He won't be in today, but we have his picks. Jad has the receipts. That'll be fun in the second hour. TJ will also help us get primed up for a Catch a Kansas Friday, a premier matchup tonight in the City League. All kinds of good stuff coming for you today. We want you to participate. You can call us on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP and the All-You-Can-Eat Pancakes deal, which goes through September 15th. You can also get in touch with the show through our video streams, which you'll find on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can leave us your messages there that we can get to. And as we've seen the last couple of days, you can leave us voice messages. There is a feature on the Odyssey app, if you're listening there, where you can push a little microphone, you leave a message, it goes right to Jad, and Jad can feed it to us here on the air. We will give away some HTO today as well. We have all kinds of good stuff in store for you. I'm Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. Good to have you back this morning. Missed you on the show yesterday, but we had a good time. Paul and I, it was a busy show. PJ Glasser.
Did I miss any good bets and he can't miss?
You know, honestly, PJ is so spot on. I mean, he's got, you know, so many just incredible angles for Thursday Night Football. You know, I'm pretty sure if memory serves, he was pretty high on the Bills last night, and I was high on the Dolphins. I mean, I kind of challenged him on that, yeah. But he was pretty high on the Bills overall, and so yeah. I know we covered games this weekend. We covered KU and K-State tonight. So I would encourage anybody to go back and listen on the Odyssey app or watch our archive video on YouTube to get his angles for the games tonight and all the games this weekend.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Because I liked Buffalo a lot last night. I know I wasn't here yesterday. I forgot to place my bets. I had to drive back and forth to Texas. And so my wife has an account. And she'll occasionally dabble just for fun. And I called her and I said, hey, we took Buffalo and we took James Cook on a first touchdown score. I am on a heater with primetime first touchdown scores. I think I'm 3 for 3 in the last three. But I liked Buffalo in that game. And we'll start there, certainly, because it's a massive game of implications in the AFC as it pertains to the Chiefs. I've told you all offseason, Tommy, I think people are sleeping on the Bills, and I can't quite figure out why. I know they lost a couple of receivers, but they still have a really good defense. They still have Josh Allen. And what I think people are not giving them enough credit for is what we saw last night. James Cook was a revelation last year, and their run game with Allen and Cook is something that's going to be a problem for other teams the way they play defense. And that's what we've seen through two games now. Now, they almost lost to the Cardinals, and I liked the Cardinals to cover their number in that game, but that's the Josh Allen effect. And that's also something people are sleeping on. Let's not forget what kind of quarterback he is. Miami, to me, has felt like the pretender. They're, investing heavy at receiver is just not the formula that's proving to work in the NFL. It's just not. Look at who's made the big commitments to wide receivers recently. Think about all of them, right? It's not the path. And so for Miami to invest all that money there, and look, the Tua injury, which we'll get to, is horrible. They weren't winning that game with Tua under center. I think Miami, like, that's why Buffalo was my pick for the division. Who did you pick? I don't even remember who you picked for the division.
I picked Miami to pick the division.
I need an asterisk now, of course, with this injury. Yeah. But yeah, I just think people have slept on Buffalo. I really do. And I've thought that. And I know they stumbled against Arizona. I don't think Buffalo's as good as they were. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think they're like mediocre. I still think they're one of the top teams. And they flexed a little bit last night. No surprise. He's owned Miami over his career. And I think he's 13-1 against the Dolphins over his career. But Buffalo's still in the mix, Tommy, I think, in the AFC. They're not as good as they were, but they could sort of redefine themselves before we get to postseason games in cold weather with that run game and still be a major factor in the AFC.
I think the biggest thing that Buffalo did last night that allowed them to win in by the margin that they did was they controlled the tempo. Yep. They basically rode James Cook and, you know, kept the ball and had possession for a long time. And that's counter to what Miami is built, the way that they're built, the way that they want to play football. I mean, it's high flying. It's you've got speed and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. You've got, you know, some pretty, you know, I know Raheem Mostert didn't play last night, but, you know, Devon Achane, and, you know, they've just got the dynamic weapons offensively, the skill position players that they want to play fast. They want to, not keep the ball, not hold on to the ball for a long time. They want to try to get it back quickly and go down and score again. And Buffalo was like, nope, we're just going to hold on to the ball. We're going to keep possession. We're going to ride James Cook. And, you know, we're going to keep the ball out of your hands. And that's really, I think, in my mind, not only the reason why Buffalo won, but why a large reason why they won by the margin that they did.
Buffalo will need to redefine itself. There's no question. Do you still consider Josh Allen the second best quarterback in football? We know Mahomes is at the top. Is it Allen next for you?
He's close. He's top three. I mean, he's close.
Yeah, I think it is. Wherever you put him, he's in that class.
I would put him. I'd probably put him at three right now. But I don't even know if Joe Burrow is number two.
Well, you know, Joe Burrow might be hurt right now. I don't know what to think about Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen is that class, though, right? Like, he's in that stratosphere. He's healthy, and he's got a really good defense, and he's got a really good run game. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like, to me, the Chiefs of last year. No receivers yet, although I think they're more talented at receiver than the Chiefs were last year. A couple of good tight ends. Like, they're very much, to me, looking like what we saw out of the Chiefs last year. And I know they blew out the Dolphins last night, but they're probably not going to blow a lot of teams out. They're probably going to play a lot of close games. And so then you lean in and know that they'll have a good defense and they'll have Josh Allen. Buffalo's going to win a lot of games this year, and they're 2-0 now against two good teams. But it's like, just don't sleep on Buffalo. Like, if Buffalo and Baltimore, because I think Baltimore is two right now, probably, and we got to see them play. But if they played 10 times, Buffalo's winning four or five of those games. If they played the Chiefs, they're winning three or four of those games. Like, they're still a really good team, I think. And I just think people have slept on them, and this will be a real good opportunity for Josh Allen to not leave any doubters this year. They'll look different than they have, but so did the Chiefs last year. The Chiefs have looked five different ways in this current little dynasty they're in. They redefine themselves better than any team every year, which they'll do it again this year. And so Buffalo's, with Josh Allen at quarterback, totally capable of doing the same thing.
Yeah, I've been skeptical about the Bills this season, you know, going into the year. Of course, I didn't pick them to win the division.
The roster turnover, I get it.
A lot of roster turnover, and it was, you know, the downgrade in wide receiver for sure. It was also turnover defensively, and I did think that they would be an improved defense this year just because you were kind of moving away from a lot of the older players that made up that defensive unit. I think last year they were one of, if not the oldest defense in the NFL. You know, some pretty decent named big name players on that roster a year ago, but a handful of them kind of passed their prime. So I was kind of skeptical about this season for the Bills. I thought, okay, like this year will be kind of a rebuilding year a little bit, or a retooling year, and then after this year, they should be back to where they need to be. My concern going into the year was, as much as I have always liked Josh Allen's arm strength and, you know, just his athleticism and all of that, what he brings, I mean, he's got some of the top attributes in the league. He has been prone to turnovers. You know, he's kind of that gunslinger guy. He you know, kind of reminds a lot of people, and we've heard this comparison for a long time, of Josh Allen and Brett Favre to an extent. You know, just we'll turn the ball over, he'll make some bad decisions. And that was with some really good receivers on that team. That was with Steph Diggs. That was with Gabe Davis. And so I thought, you know what, if those guys aren't there anymore and you are essentially replacing them with Khalil Shakir and, you know, Keon Coleman, who I think is really talented, but obviously really young, and they brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, right? Like, they didn't have the same kind of offensive weapons outside of James Cook this year as compared to last year. So I was concerned about the turnover propensity from Josh Allen being even worse this year because he didn't have those top level receivers.
But then they did the other things to supplement. They brought in Curtis Samuel. They have a good tight end. I think they have far more pass catching weapons than the Chiefs did a year ago. Deeper, not at the top end, but deeper. And I just think they have a really good run game. They also took Ray Davis. I think they're going to run the ball a lot between those guys and Josh Allen. And if they can play really good defense, because they didn't even have 250 yards of offense last night, Tommy. I'm telling you, it's going to feel a little like the Chiefs last year. That's what it will feel like with the Bills this year. You just play good defense, you try to control the ball, and you let Josh Allen make the plays he's capable of making. And it will probably take them a little time. They'll lose games where we're like, what on earth? And they'll lose to bad teams. They'll do a lot of the same things we saw out of the Chiefs last year. But the formula, if they take it, that they appear to have, is advantageous to winning playoff football games. And remember, it wasn't Josh Allen's fault that Mahomes drove down and scored a couple of times in that overtime playoff game. Josh Allen led the drive the other way, right? It hasn't been Josh Allen always letting them down in the postseason. So we'll see, but don't sleep on Buffalo. And then on the other side, Tommy, is Miami, who has to be considered a contender. Back then, we're getting some pretty bad reviews on the Tua concussion today. The hand thing happened. I don't know why. I feel bad because he just can't try to make those plays anymore. And I wonder what that means to his long-term career, but I don't think he's back anytime soon for this. We'll watch Skylar Thompson for now, of course, the K-State quarterback, but Miami is not going to be a contender without Tua. I don't think they were with Tua. It's a really, really sad story to see it happen, but it keeps happening. And this will be an interesting case study, I guess. We've seen players step away. Now, he just signed a big contract, but we've seen players step away because of this. I don't know what the league does not like this, certainly. I don't look at this, Tommy, as some like wider ranging thing. Tua just continues to like that was he put himself in that position last night, which a football player would. I would if I was a football player, but he can't be put in that position. And he's not clearly able to take that part of his game away. So I don't know what you do here. It's really sad because I think we all like Tua. We all want to see Tua do well, but we don't want to see his hand go up again because he has another clear concussion. I mean, it's terrifying.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me, there have been several players over the last 10 years or maybe even further back that have been forced to retire due to repeated concussions. Like, you know, probably
Troy Aikman,
one of the recently, at least in the last five, you know, plus years that comes to mind is Luke Kuechly, you know, retired because of his repeated concussions that he had. You know, so some prominent names that have retired due to multiple concussions. You feel terrible for Tua. Where I land on this, first off, I don't think that he should play another game. I think he has to be done at this point. just because it, you know, you've seen this happen multiple times, and you know, he was able to get through last season without any issues, but we're in week two, you know, it's come up again. You know, you don't want to see that. And you start thinking about, okay, what's the longevity, the long-term future for him if he continues to play football? You know, I can't speak for him. I'm not in his shoes. But if it were me, I would probably be like, look, I can't do this. I'm done. That's me. So, again, I can't speak for Tua. I just know how I would react in that situation.
Yeah, that's what I don't want to do. I don't want to tell Tua what to do. If he's comfortable with the risk, I'm comfortable with him taking the risk. You know what I mean? Like, it's his decision to make. The interesting wrinkle to it is what's at stake for the league when this happens. I think we are in a better place with football than we were 4 or 5 years ago when the head injuries were being swept under the rug to some degree and all the things that were happening. I don't think we're there anymore. And I'm comfortable with that place. We all get to make decisions in life. We all get to take risks in life. There are lots of risky jobs out there. These players choose to take the risk because they love it. It's their passion. There's a whole lot of money involved in it. But if you're the league, you also know that the optics are important because the greatest threat to the league is that people don't play football anymore. So I don't know if they have a role in this decision. I don't know on that. That's hard. Yeah. But for Tua's sake, Tua can make whatever decision he wants to make. And I'm comfortable with that as long as he's comfortable with it, because it's his risk to take, not ours.
On top of that, I want to talk about the Dolphins briefly. And this is not a knock on Skylar Thompson. I have a lot of respect for Skylar Thompson. But, you know, I think that the Dolphins have done a terrible job of protecting Tua. And I'm not talking about Tua's health. They've done a terrible job of protecting that offense, because if I'm the general manager, if I'm Mike McDaniel, going all the way back to 2022, I'm like, look, Tua's got a high risk of concussions. We need a contingency plan. We need to have, you know, maybe a more high profile backup quarterback, you know, just in case something happens with Tua and he's done or he's out for the year, you know, or whatever happens. I mean, he's got a propensity for concussions. So it's nothing against Skylar Thompson. I just think that they probably should have had somebody else on the depth chart, because right now it's Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle. That's who they have on the depth chart. I don't think, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm not comfortable riding Skylar Thompson for the remainder of the season. I think they'll probably go to free agency or they'll make a trade or something. They could reunite with Ryan Tannehill, who is still a free agent at 36. They could go and grab him. I don't know if that's likely or not. And there's a handful of other quarterbacks on rosters with teams that are carrying three. You know, the Broncos are carrying three. They've got Knicks and Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. I don't think any of those are, you know, Stidham or Wilson really get you excited. The Browns have three quarterbacks, but now with the Deshaun Watson situation, they're probably not going to, you know, move away from one of those three. So, you know, there are some options that are out there, but if it were me, if I were the Dolphins, I would have had a contingency plan in place. I would have wanted to make sure that my backup is somebody that I feel comfortable rolling with throughout the rest of the season. I have a hard time thinking that they're comfortable riding with Skylar Thompson.
So I think that they like Skylar Thompson. I think
they do too.
I think they do. And
you just said, I mean, they're you said it a few minutes ago. They're not a contender without Tua.
I didn't think they were a contender with Tua, but yes, this definitely makes them for sure not. Like I wasn't in on them anyway, because I think they're too finesse to work in the postseason. But Skylar Thompson does have some traits, I think, that are similar to Tua, and I think that they, in the preseason, I have seen things that they really love about Skylar Thompson. I have no issue rolling with Skylar Thompson this year if I'm the Dolphins, because they need to see what they've got there too. None of this may change anything. Tua may recover and feel like he's fine and get right back out there. And that's his prerogative. I don't know what I would do if I was Tua. I have no idea if I was put in that situation what I would do. I don't know what Tua's family, sir. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he has kids.
He's married. I think he has one son, young.
So that would obviously impact a decision. Yeah. And we'll see what he does. I don't know what he should do, but the Dolphins aren't going to be there in the end anyway. And it begs that question of the wide receiver investment. I want to talk about that because these teams get smashed for not signing these receivers over and over and over again. Let's look at the biggest contracts for wide receivers right now. And you tell me if you think those teams are actually Super Bowl contenders. We'll do that when we return. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. On the way out, let's set up our giveaway for the day. Some HTO for you. Text to win contest. You can win a free iced tea. You can win a free rain coffee. These will be good for the Derby location or either location in Wichita, east or west. All you got to do is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, a free rain coffee, all kinds of iced and hot options. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. What in the world do we do with these high-paid receivers? That's next.
Back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. All Brockton Caster. We were talking about Thursday night football. Of course, a really sad situation with Tua Tagovailoa is the headliner of that game. Brady's on the line, wants to chime in on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. Brady, welcome into Sports Daily. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Really enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Wanted to ask you about Tua. You know, you guys were referencing the fact that, that he'll make a decision. You know, and one of the things that kind of the reason for my call is, isn't this something where, you know, the organization, the Miami Dolphins, have a responsibility? A lot of times we have young athletes, maybe not in a concussion situation, but making decisions about their future. And we have to remember here, he has to pass a league physical, obviously. And I think even contractually, you get into a situation where if he fails a physical three times, he still gets paid. I know they have an insurance policy on his contract, but my point at this call is it's not just him making the decision. Obviously it's in conjunction with the team doctors and the Miami Dolphins. I think because we don't know as much about concussions as we do about say joints, you know, orthopedic stuff. I think the Miami Dolphins have a role in this as well. And while ultimately it might be through his decision at the end of the day, we have to remember though, it's made in unison with the organization, and he has to pass a physical, you guys. I mean, and it's a stringent one on concussions. The protocols were written very strict. In other words, Tua doesn't have the education and doesn't know how concussions work in exponential factors. You know, when you get one or two of them, it doesn't equal three. You're already the equivalent of 12 to 30 of them. In other words, the organization is going to play a huge role, and they have the responsibility in some instances to guide the young man on his future. And that's all I wanted to say. He'll get the money, and the organization, if they have their policy, and I think they do, there's a negotiation where everything settles out. So the organization does not lose all that money. They get it back.
Yeah,
for an insurance policy.
And Brady, I want to jump in really quick because you're right as far as the organization should have a role in determining this. And I think that they, you know, probably will operate a little bit differently than they did a couple of years ago. But it wasn't that long ago, remember, that the Dolphins, like he went back into a game, and it, you know, was the point to where I remember the, and I know this person is not affiliated with the organization. It's an independent neurologist, was fired by the NFLPA. They exercised their right to fire that independent doctor because there wasn't, you know, the proper kind of, you know, evaluation on to one of the very first concussions that he had. And ultimately, I know Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins organization at that time, I think it was back in 2022, they were subject to a lot of criticism from around the league because Tua continued to play. So I remember, I think it was maybe even on Christmas, maybe, where he was back in a game just a couple of weeks after he had suffered a concussion. Then he had another one, and that was when he had the fencing, you know, motion with his hands and all of that. That was really scary, you know, to watch on TV and in the crowd. So I would hope that the organization would work a little bit differently this time around, but they have not had the greatest track record.
I agree. It's a great point. And I do remember that when that happened, that I think that's important for the athlete to get an independent opinion as well.
Sure.
And before that, you can remember, we can go back to Howie Long. I remember when he played for the Raiders. He made a very funny comment. He said, our orthopedic doctor can diagnose a bloody nose, and that's why it's important. He was in L.A. at the time, which has some of the finest orthopedic surgeons in the world, to get an independent opinion on it. And I know Tua will. And I think what's happened, I think not just fans, but I think organizations have gotten better since that point. We're in our infancy stages. And you guys, I also want to remember, just point out, there was a movie that came out years ago, probably about 7 to 10 years ago, about Mike Webster. And for those that haven't seen it, Pittsburgh Steelers, again, we're at the infancy stages of not concussions themselves, but how we treat them, and more importantly, how the league views them. So Tua's undersized. The Dolphins knew that when they signed this long-term contract. But know this. They're protected financially. Everybody is on that amount of money, and that Tua needs to get independent consultations. You know what I mean, collectively.
Sure.
And my point was the organization has a responsibility. Now, whether they exercise that or not, they do.
They will this time.
Yeah, I agree. 2 or 3 years ago, you bring up a great point, and I do remember that. I was shocked. Sometimes you watch things on live TV, and you're like, is this really going on right now? Your body's not, you're not ready to process it. So let's hope he gets the medical treatment he deserves and makes a wise decision. So enjoy the show, you guys. Have a great one.
Brady, thank you. Yeah, look, the Dolphins made a mistake. The problem is always there has to be a first time and you have to learn from it. That was the time in the modern concussion era. That was the one where everyone's like, what? So now the reaction will be very different. We're not going to see Tua for a while if we see him again. Yes, it needs to be done independently. Yes, he needs to be able to get educated decisions. Yes, he has a coach that's probably going to handle this the right way. And yes, the days of, the barbarism, the barbarian style of football has passed us. This is why. And it's okay. And we have to adapt to it. The players have to adapt to it. The fans have to adapt to it. The teams have to adapt to it. But they have to have an opportunity to do it. And so they failed the first time around. I don't think they'll fail this time around. And again, it's Tua's decision to make. Now, if there are certain physicals and things that have to be passed, that obviously is policy. And that I'm saying, if all of that gets, he gets through all of that, and over some period of time he will, then it's his decision to make. And I think we have to be comfortable with his decision to make. Pilots, fighter jet pilots take a risk every time they go in the cockpit. People that work in mines take we all have
police
to
officers, firefighters,
risk.
Like they're
correct.
They're
But again, the
overall importance of what those people do.
It's not our decision to make.
You're right.
You and me.
You're totally right. But, I don't want to equate the importance of what a player playing a game is doing versus, somebody else who's putting themselves in legitimate danger every single time that, they go to work. There are a handful of really shocking injury moments in the NFL that I can recall being on live TV when a game is going on. You think of Joe Theismann snapping his leg. You think of Alex Smith snapping his leg. You think of Damar Hamlin collapsing on the field a couple of years ago. You think of Tua Tagovailoa. There's a little bit of irony here because Tua's helmet collided with Damar Hamlin's arm last night.
Right.
So there's a little bit of irony with, the two guys. Because, those are the Tua fencing motion on that Christmas Day game was shocking and scary to watch. Damar Hamlin collapsing on the field and having to be revived on the field was shocking. And then both of them are involved in this situation last night.
Not to get too philosophical either on the importance of what players do. He's devoted his entire life to this, right? This is it. This is what you've worked your entire life for. And the people that do have those jobs that are brutal and take it out from you, he provides them the opportunity to let go of some of that emotionally. So I don't want to totally discount the importance of what these guys do. I think too often we just say, oh, it's just a game. Not for everybody, it's not. Like, it's your life's work, and somebody else, it's their release from their own stress at work. So I hope he makes a good decision. I'm not going to say I hope he plays again. I'm not going to say I hope he doesn't play again. I hope he makes a good decision, and I hope that he's healthy in reaction to this specific instance. Thanks for the call, Brady. We appreciate it on the IHOP hotline. You can chime in if you'd like there. Okay, let's pivot here, because the Dolphins now, and I don't think, again, like, were the Dolphins contenders or not, it brings up this wide receiver issue, Tommy. And I'm going to go, there's been a lot of wide receivers paid lately. Chiefs are a team that has not done that. The Bills, who we just talked about, are a team that is not doing that clearly anymore. So I'm going to give you, the Ravens do not pay their receivers that way. Justin Jefferson just got his deal. The Vikings are not a Super Bowl contender this year. I mean, I think they'll be better than people think, so I don't want to totally discount it. And I'm not saying, by the way, on this conversation that I think these are bad decisions by organizations. I just think it's interesting that that's the market that's exploded. It is the deepest position in football. So we've got Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk, Jalen Waddle, Davante Adams, DJ Moore. Those are some of the players that have been. Nico Collins just got paid again. Like, it's going to be a really interesting case study of the really good teams who are paying receivers. You have the Eagles and the 49ers, and the Lions, I suppose you could put in there. And then you have some that have made these decisions that we don't feel like are Super Bowl contenders. Davante Adams. Maybe you think the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. I don't. Maybe you think the Seahawks are. I don't. The Commanders, no. So it'll be really interesting to see that as it plays out, as we just continue to watch that position. The running back markets have been so suppressed, but the wide receivers are taking off, and I would argue there's more good wide receivers than there ever have been. So we'll watch that. Let's get one more call in before we take a break, and we'll preview the Chiefs-Bengals a little bit. Earl's on the line, wants to chime in on Sports Daily. Hey, Earl, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Real quick thing on Tua, all right? At Alabama, he was concussed. In 2022, he was concussed 3 times, right? And the information given to him, he made a grown man decision, I'm going to still play the game. Let me ask you this, and ask anybody, would they be willing to risk the head trauma and an unknown future? No one knows. I mean, if somebody sat him down and said, look, if you get one more, you're not going to be able to remember anybody's name. They don't know. It's right. Kind of a moving target with concussions. But ask anybody, would you be willing for $55 million to go out there and give that risk? What do you think most people would say? Most people would say, well, heck, I can take care of my family. I have $55 million. Are you kidding me?
But, so, Earl, I would say this in counter to that, and I agree with you to some degree.
Please.
Do you already have $20 million in your pocket when they ask you that question?
Well, and that, very good, thank you. This is what I'm getting to. But he's a grown man, and he can make it. I mean, bull riders die and break things all the time. We give guys weapons and send them overseas to go to war for pennies on the dollar, and we don't seem to have that concern. I think grown men can make grown decisions when you say someone's got to stop him. Well, you know, how many grown men really do what they don't want to do? Well, yeah, we're married, so we do it all the time. but the idea is, you know, saying, hey, we're not going to let you play because potentially you could get hurt. Yeah, well, potentially, there's a lot of professions in this world. The deadliest catch, man. They go on them crab boats, don't make $55 million. There's a lot of professions that you can end up injured on. I guess the big difference is it's not the only game on TV when we watch a guy go in the fence motion again. So yeah, it's the
risk and the health to the NFL. And I'm with you, Earl. It's to his decision to make. Again, he's got to pass all the protocols that are in place. But if he does and he wants to play, I will never say I'm just not going to judge his decision, because it's his decision to make.
There you go. Very good. In that regard,
but the league also has a role in this, and they have different interests than just Tua deciding to play. And I think that's what makes it really complicated. What is the league's greatest fear, do you think? The two things on that.
Somebody dies on the field.
Somebody dies on the field. That's right. or that.
And the irony is, Hamlin's the one who hit him last night.
I know.
So, I mean,
it's brutal. It's a brutal situation. But if Tua clears the protocols, then Tua can make his own decision, and I will hold no judgment on any decision that he makes because it's his decision to make. I mean, it just is. And so that's fine. But the league has a risk involved here, too. The league has – I don't want to call it an obligation because, I honestly don't know how I feel about that. But they at least have a stake in the game of the risk he would take to go back out there. And I do think that's important, too, and will factor into things. But the same decision that Tua can make his own decision and I won't have a problem with it. The league's got to make a decision, too. You know, because they have risk involved with him being out there at the same time, and that's their prerogative. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough thing to navigate through.
It's optics, right? They NFL doesn't want to see that. But by the same token, all their self, health and safety thing, you know, the extra games makes them more money. So at the part, there's a diminishing return on those things is when the league will put their foot down. Has nothing to do with the health and welfare of players. We've seen that over and over again. It's at the point it affects their bottom line. So the bottom line is, hey, it didn't look good. It wasn't cool. And there are probably some parents today going, man, I don't know what my kid putting a head in a pile. So, you know, but grown men should still, in this day in 2024, be able to make their decisions on legal ways of making a living. So you guys have a great weekend. Hopefully KU can figure out to run the ball. Take it out of Daniel's
hands. Thank you, Earl. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
They will. Unless they get behind early. Even if they do get behind early, they will. We'll get to that. We appreciate the call, Earl and Brady. Two good calls, two well-thought calls, and I think we're all on the right track with this. It's tough. It sucks. It's the worst part about football, for sure. And hopefully we can navigate it and continue to just make our way through it. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the Bengals. Tommy tells me, because I was on the road literally all day the last 2 days, Tommy tells me there's been a little trash talking.
There always is from these teams.
Coming from the Bengals. I have not heard this. Tommy will enlighten me, and we'll react to it next on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for always keeping us fueled up here. This is a portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Looking for a great place to watch the Chiefs game this weekend? You can go out to the Crestview Bar and Restaurant. Check it out. Check out the facilities. Set it up. Take a look. Tell them we sent you over here from Sports Daily. You can watch the Chiefs and the Bengals in the afternoon. You can also listen to that game, of course, over on KNSS, home of Chiefs football. Tommy, there's been trash talk you're telling me that I've been missing out on while driving the last 48 hours.
Yeah, I love the fact that you don't know what has been said. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set up both of them, and I want you to tell me which one you think is more ludicrous or more ridiculous. So we're going to start with Jamar Chase. Jamar always likes to talk before Bengals and Chiefs games. He was asked the question after practice yesterday about whether he believes that the Bengals are still the team to beat in the AFC. His quote was, "Everybody knows that, bro. It's not if. We are the team to beat in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to play like it too." Then, that's number one. Okay. Then one of their cornerbacks in the secondary, Cam Taylor-Britt, was also asked after practice yesterday what he thought about the qualities that Xavier Worthy adds to the Kansas City offense. His quote was, "Speed. That's about it. He can run straight, run jet sweeps, and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it."
Yeah, the second one's far more stupid. The first one doesn't bother me at all. I don't have any problem with Jamar Chase saying, yeah, we're the team to beat. We got to play better. No issue there whatsoever. The second one, why? Like, why do you do that? Why do you just invite the Chiefs to now try and go out and target you? You better be able to back that up. And even if you can back it up, even if there was a strategic, like, we're going to goat them into something here, right? Like, we're going to make them take a risk and we're going to be ready for it, which I could appreciate if the Bengals didn't look like dog crap in the first week of the season. Like, you're not there yet, offensively, defensively, anywhere. You just let the Patriots beat you at your place. So let's chill with all that. The Ja'Marr Chase thing, no problem with it at all. That's fine. But yeah, don't give the Chiefs a reason to come at you. I mean, lock it in for a worthy touchdown. Now is what you feel like when you watch that as a fan. We'll see if you
back. Well, I'm not only the touchdown, but I'm looking at the line for his receiving yards. And yeah. The line right now is at 44.5. I mean, pound the over. Yards.
I would look at total yards more than receiving yards. And it's going to probably be like 60. But just in case, right? Just in case he only gets a handful of touches, you want every touch to count. But yes, that will be something I look at. And it's not even a worthy thing. It's a Mahomes thing. Mahomes hates that stuff. Like now he's going to make it a point to go do something with Worthy. It's because that's what he does. It's what we love, right?
Going back to what Chase said, I mean, I know your answer already, but I'm just going to ask, do you agree with him? Are they the team to beat in the AFC?
No.
I mean, I don't think so at all.
No, I don't agree with him, but that doesn't really matter. I would, if I was a coach, I would want my players to think that. I would want you to think you're the best. I would want you to have that confidence.
Right
so,
now.
So, no, he's not. He's not right, right now, but I don't have a problem.
As far as futures are concerned, if you do agree with Ja'Marr Chase, if anybody does, I mean, it's not a bad time to take them to win the conference if they're the team to beat
what
in the AFC.
What is their odds?
They're plus 950. They are the sixth highest odds in the conference behind the Jets. The Jets are above them. The Bills, the Texans, the Ravens, and the Chiefs.
They're above the Jets. I mean, look, they'll be playing. If Joe Burrow's healthy, they're going to be playing a whole lot better by the end of the year. That's actually not a terrible bet. I will reserve that they are a massive threat to the Chiefs in an individual playoff game because of who they have at quarterback. Like, they are a threat.
If he's healthy.
That's an interesting... If he's healthy, right. Yeah, that's the factor in what makes a futures bet hard. All right, and he's... I guess he's been holding his water bottle strangely or something. Chiefs are 6 points, but we're going to pick that game as well as the two games tonight. Six total games. Paul Savage, TJ Cleland will be in. Jad has Brandon's picks. Jad has receipts that I wish he would lose. But he has them, and we'll come back and we'll pick those games. I'm going to hop in the car. I'm going to jump on the video stream here remotely. Tommy's going to lead this thing, but we'll get those connections made, and we will rejoin you on the other side with our picks. Sure to fail. Don't go away on Sports Daily.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, Jacob Albrocht, Paul Savage, TJ Cleland joining us. We've got the four box here today, gentlemen. It is our Friday football picks, and we are ready to jump into it today. Jacob, I know you put the lines together. I'm going to lead everything today. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that works. We're driving out to a charity golf tournament right now, but I am ready to make up some ground on the big man back there, just sitting high up on the mountain, I don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, Paul, you had an incredible week last week.
I think I strained something.
Oh, but anyway.
No. I think I was lucky. Come on. I was just plain luck. It was plain luck.
6-0 for Paul Savage.
You know, you got to have a little luck. Jacob, of all people, you know you've got to have a little luck if you're running.
I think what makes me the angriest is Savage does not use that lucky gift for good. He doesn't bet the games. Like, if I had a 6-0 week, man, I'd be cleaning up.
6-0 for Paul Savage. On the flip side, Jacob, 1-5, I believe, you last week. You want to talk about that? Any comments? I think we lost Jacob. They can't hear Jad. They can't hear me on my end. I think my microphone is muted here.
Tommy, I think you're muted, man.
Well, if that's the case, it looks like with just you and me, we can do it. I mean, for God's sakes, we'll make Jacob's picks and we'll make Tommy picks for him. How's that?
Is that better? Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
okay. All right. So my question, though, before we jump into this, Jacob, on the flip side, 1-5 for you last week. Any comments on that?
No, not really. I actually made money on one of those picks. I went back to the Niners. So, but we make the picks on Fridays. That's the rules. It's hard sometimes. The good news is we get KU, K-State tonight. So these will be actual like bets, not you know, because you can change your mind in the last couple of days. But look, listen, it's fine. It's fine. I seem to recall, Tommy, there was a week last year that I believe you pulled off the ultimate week and went, was it 0 for 10?
I was 0 for 10 one week last year. So I don't really have a whole lot of room to talk. Honestly, I wear that as a badge of honor. I mean,
it's really hard.
It might be harder to go 0-10 than it would be to go 10-0. So I was actually pretty impressed with my.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Myself that week.
Yeah, you know, and the sad thing about this entire Friday night is, TJ, this particularly affects you and I.
You and I are going to be on the sidelines of some high school game. I don't know where you'll be. You'll be all over the place, and I'll be over at the East Northwest game coaching football. But man, it's a bummer. We do not get to watch KU and K State. That's a bummer. We got to record it, but it's never quite as good as watching the game live while it's going on. That's kind of a bummer for you and I, isn't it?
Yeah, I've become quite a savant at the YouTube TV on the phone in the left hand, and the camera in the right hand, and the box scores on the watch. So we find a way around. You have to adapt and overcome whenever things come like
this. I went to a wedding this last summer of a football coach, and the K-State game was on. You can't imagine how many phones were out while this wedding was going on with the people watching this couple get married. There were phones everywhere out while the K-State game was going on. Can you believe that?
The way
I
it is.
It. I've done it.
The way it is.
Oh, you've done it.
Hey, by the way, we're going to talk high school football with TJ coming up a little bit later on in this hour for Catch at Kansas and what's going on around the area. Real quick, a quick recap of last week. We talked about it a little bit before we get the games picked for this week. Of course, Paul, 6-0. He's got a 2-game lead over myself and TJ. We both went 4-2 last week. TJ, you went 5-1 last week. I went 4-2, but we're both 2 games back from Paul overall. Brandon went 2-4 last week, and you know, Jacob, we already talked about you. So it's you know, going to be a bounce back week for you, Mr. Albrockton. We'll go ahead and get right into it. Jad, go ahead and hit the music. I think we are all ready to go here to make our picks for Friday football picks. Let's get started with the first college game tonight in Kansas City at Children's Mercy Park. You've got the Jayhawks trying to bounce back after their 3-point loss on the road at Illinois last week, taking on UNLV. It's a rematch of last year's Guaranteed Rate Bowl. The Jayhawks are currently 9.5-point favorites. TJ, let's start with you. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, looking at this one, you know, on social media, there's a lot of people that say that the Jayhawks are on upset alert, that UNLV is really good. I mean, they beat the heck out of Houston, so I understand all the hype around that. I'm going to take KU covering this one, though, even though we saw what we saw last week at Illinois. But I really think that, you know, listening to them this week in their press conferences, they're just like all of us. It's not like they're clueless about what happened. They know they need to get the running backs more involved in this game and everything that went wrong. They're very aware of what happened, and I really can imagine KU bouncing back and not letting that happen again.
So KU to cover for TJ. Let's do Brandon next. I've got Brandon Zinner's picks. He's not in with us today. He's taking UNLV, and he's taking the points to cover 9.5. So he likes what UNLV is doing, at least to keep that game relatively close. Jacob, let's go to you next. What do you like in this game?
I think it's the hardest one of all of our picks. It's a lot of points. I've said all along I'm going to bet the KU defense this week. Even as much as Jalen Daniels has not looked good, has struggled, my bets are going to be with the KU defense. I hate taking unders. I'm going to take the unders. But as far as the line goes, I'm going to stick with that defensive bet. I'll reluctantly take KU here. It's way too many points.
My actual bet on the game is going to be the under, but we've got to pick one or the other. I'll take KU because I do think their defense will slow UNLV way down.
All right, Jacob laying the points there. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's throwing me off on this game is the game against Houston with the UNLV winning that thing. And winning it decisively, I mean, it was a spanking. Now, last I checked, Houston's still a Big 12 team, so that says something. Now, because UNLV beat Houston, I am really, really inclined to take UNLV because of that, because it tells me something, that there is a set of players on this team. There is a set of probably a force to be reckoned with at the line of scrimmage. I reluctantly, and I hate to do this, but I am not a believer of KU yet. KU has to show me something. I haven't seen it. I'm going to go ahead and take UNLV. I'm going to join Brandon. And I got a feeling I know where Tommy's going to go.
So, you know, I think the biggest thing that I like in this game and the way I'm going to bet it is actually the under. And I know that, Jacob, you talked about that a little bit. This is a matchup. I mean, these two teams, the final score last year in the bowl game between these two very teams was 49-36. They put up a ton of points a year ago. This is a different KU offense with a different play caller. I underestimated the difference in the offense when you change the play caller there. And now Jeff Grimes has had a lot of criticism this week about the way he called the Illinois game. I like the under. I think until Kansas figures out what they're doing offensively, I'm going to lean on that. Paul, you might be surprised. I'm going to join you and Brandon. I'm going to take UNLV.
I'm stuck.
I'm going to take the points. I think Kansas wins the game, but I think it'll be a touchdown game when it's all said and done. You know, double digits is tough. I mean, it's a 9.5-point spread, so Kansas would have to win by double digits to cover. That's a lot for me, especially knowing what we saw a week ago with Kansas's offense. I hope I'm proved wrong, and I hope that they, you know, I hope that they unlock what they need to unlock offensively. But I'm going to take UNLV, and I'll take the 9.5. The other in-state game, the other Friday night primetime game, is the non-conference conference game for the Wildcats taking on Arizona. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. Of course, you can hear that game right here on KFH tonight. Arizona, they are road dogs by a touchdown. The Wildcats are favored by 7 at home. We'll start with Brandon this time. Of course, I've got his picks. He is taking the Arizona Wildcats, and he's going to take the 7 points. You know, I think he probably thinks it's going to be a little bit of a closer game there in Manhattan tonight. Let's go to Jacob. You're next. How about you?
So I hate this line. I don't like either of the lines. This one, I'm going to take Arizona. I'm going to take the points. I think K-State wins, but I don't think it's by more than a touchdown. This feels to me like a thriller in the making. I'm so excited about this game. I know everybody, the hype around this game is massive, and it should be. I do think K-State will play better than they have offensively the first couple of weeks, but their defense is a problem right now. And so I think Arizona is going to be able to do some things, but I'll take Arizona in the points to cover. I do think K-State will win, but I'm going to take the points with the Wildcats.
Paul, how about you? You're next.
Well, to me, this is a fairly easy game because I haven't seen enough from K-State to think that this is a really, really great football team. Now, it all depends on how much you think of Tulane. How good is Tulane? We'll find out Saturday when they play Oklahoma, which we will be picking next, by the way. But with that being said, you know something? I'm not convinced. I need to see Avery Johnson. I need to see him out in space. I need to see him able to create. I need to see him move around in the pocket. I need to see him do some things to enable this offense to be as good as it can be. I have not seen that yet in both games, whether it's Tennessee Martin or whether it was last week at Tulane. For that reason, and because Arizona is still a top 20 team, I'm going to go ahead and take Arizona. And you're giving me 20 points, and I've got a top 20 team, and you're going to give me
7 points.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're giving me 7 points.
We'll give you 7 points, Paul.
Sorry about that.
But I would never give you 20 points on anything.
Ranked 20th, and you're giving 7. There we go. I got it out, finally. But I'm going to go ahead and take the points. 7 points to a team like Arizona. Really dangerous, fellas. I'm going to take Arizona.
All right, well, I'll go next. I mentioned earlier this week, I've said it a couple different times, I believe that the Wildcats currently have a Dylan Edwards problem. And that problem is they need to give him more touches. But I am concerned that you don't want to take away touches from DJ Giddens, who has also been really good this year. So that's going to be a conundrum, how they, you know, do that. And one thing that Tim Fitzgerald yesterday mentioned was he would love to see both of those guys on the field more often, giving both of them more snaps. And then you've got that much more versatility. It hasn't been an explosive offense through the first two games for the Wildcats overall. They've been sloppy at times, but I think they get it figured out in this game. It's a huge matchup for them, primetime on national TV in that window on Friday night. I'm going to take Kansas State. I'll lay the 7 points because I do think that this will be kind of the national, I don't even want to say national coming out party for Avery Johnson because everybody already knows him, but this is his team now and he'll get to have it on display in front of everybody tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Kansas State Wildcats and I'll lay the 7 points. TJ, we'll wrap it up with you.
Hey, Tommy, I want you to write down that the Wildcats are going to cover. I can't believe you guys left the low-hanging fruit for the young guy to make the dad joke there, but I'll take it. I'm going to say K-State's always good for two things, it feels like. They always slip up in a silly one, which just wouldn't be a silly one. It's a great game. A slip up in a non-conference game, or they make a huge statement, like going on the road at Oklahoma and winning that one. I'm going to go with K-State in this one. I think that this could be a game like that, like Tommy said, a coming-out party. They always find a way to play up to opponents when they need to play up to opponents, it feels like, and they also find a way to play down to opponents sometimes as well. But I'm going to go, I think that they've really been pretty vanilla the past couple of games, and it almost bit them last week. I think that they need to take a look in the mirror, and if they want to win this game, they need to cut it loose, as Tommy said, let Dylan in there a little bit more, get some more touches, and just let Avery do his thing in that offense. I think that they've been holding back and being pretty conservative. They need to cut it loose if they want to win by 7 tonight.
You know, even though I think we all probably agree that we don't love the fact that both of these games are Friday night games, with high school football around the state going on too, and they're both, you know, at home basically for both KU and K-State. Don't love that. I mean, it's going to be more than likely fantastic football tonight. So looking forward to both of those games. Our final college pick will stay in the Big 12. Oklahoma at home. This game is tomorrow in Norman. Tulane comes to town. Guys, this is, I think, a really intriguing game. And Jacob, I'm really excited that you put this game on the list because we saw what Tulane did at home against Kansas State a week ago. They almost won that game, and they controlled a portion of that game for sure against the Wildcats. And then OU really struggled against Houston, and Houston looks to be one of, if not the worst team in the Big 12. What do you like in this game? OU favored by 13. They're laying 13 points. Are you comfortable laying 13 with OU?
No, I'm not. Look, it's more to me about Tulane. It's a little bit about Oklahoma, as they've been a little slow out of the gates the last couple of years. I think
for the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
They're capable. I think they're real. I think Tulane's good. And so 13 points, there aren't very many good college football games this weekend, which is why we went to this former Big 12, now SEC. But I think Tulane makes it interesting for us. I'm going to take those points because I do think their offense is pretty legit.
Paul, you're next.
Oh, boy, I'm going to be on an island on this one because you know how much I've been playing up Tulane, right? Tulane's a dog. I've just been fooling you guys. You're now going to bet along right with me. This, I've got you guys right where I want you. I've taken OU and given the points because Tulane is a fake.
Wow.
I'm taking OU, and it'll be by 21.
Wow. If Tulane is a fake, what does that make Kansas State? Because Tulane just about beat them last week, Paul. That's wild. So Paul is taking the 13 points. Tulane to cover.
No, I'm giving 13.
You're giving. I know you're taking 13 points.
Oh, okay.
You're getting 13 points against Tulane. I'm gonna take Tulane. I'm gonna take the points. You laid the points, right?
You took.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. You're laying the points and taking OU.
That's right.
I'm taking Tulane.
Okay.
I was confused. Taking Tulane. I'm gonna take the 13 points. That's too many for me, and especially after watching the way that Tulane worked over Kansas State, especially their secondary in the first half last week. I just think that the green wave will continue this on. I'm sure more than likely at home, OU will probably win the game, but I don't think it's going to be by that kind of margin. So I'll take Tulane, and I'll take the points. TJ, you're up next.
This feels like when you have a 15 at the blackjack table and you're facing a 10 that you really don't want to hit it because you know you're going to bust, but you, by the book, you have to take it. So I'm going to play by the book and have to take Tulane to cover 13 points. As you guys said, they're a really good team. I think that Oklahoma's going to win this game. They'll probably win this game by 10 points, but I think that Tulane can cover. 13's a lot of points, but I think that Oklahoma does. The thing about Tulane is that they've got film on them now. Everybody watched that K-State game. I think that Brent Venables is a great defensive mind. I think that Oklahoma's going to win this game handily, but I think that Tulane's still going to cover 13 points.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for OU is the fact that they only managed to put up, what, 16 points last week against Houston, of all teams? So that I think that's going to be the major challenge, is what OU can do offensively. By the way, Brandon Zinner is also taking Tulane, and he's taking the points. I guess that means, Paul, you get an OU island.
I'll tell you what, OU on an island has never happened. I've been doing this a long time on this show. I have never seen OU on an island with one guy taking it, ever.
Well, you get that island and hopefully a little string bikini for you on that OU island this weekend. Let's shift gears, go from college to the NFL. Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road at Detroit. The Lions are laying 7 points. Paul, I believe you are starting this round. What do you like in this game?
Well, here's the thing. I've enjoyed the Lions. I'm a Lions fan. I'm a Dan Campbell fan ever since Hard Knocks on HBO. I've loved that. I love the way he operates. He's one of the last of the old school, Tommy. He's one of the last.
You're a fanboy for Dan Campbell.
I am a fanboy for Dan. I'm going to go ahead and give the 7 points. And I'm doing this more based upon the Lions than the Bucs. I'm probably a little biased. I'm not analyzing this right. But I'll tell you what, guys. The Lions could be in the Super Bowl. It's a possibility. They are a solid football club. I'm going to take the Lions.
Well, I'm up next, and it took the Lions overtime to win in their opener a week ago. But I'm on board fully with what Detroit is doing. But by the way, I love Tampa Bay. I think Baker Mayfield has turned the page in his career, and he's thriving in Tampa Bay now. Is he ever going to be a star quarterback again? Probably not, but he can carve out, I think, a pretty nice second half of his career in Tampa Bay.
I agree.
But that being said, I think the Lions have too much firepower, plus the game is at home in Detroit. We know Jared Goff in a dome. I'm going to take the Lions. I'll lay the point. 7 is tough because it could very easily push. But I'm going to go ahead and take the Lions, and I'll lay the 7 points. TJ, you are up next.
I'm going to go with my philosophy from last week that I just like the Lions at home a lot. I don't think that I trust the Lions on the road as much as I like the Lions at home, whether that's the dome thing or the Lions fan base is just getting bigger and bigger, I feel like. I think the Buccaneers are a great team. I just don't think I can trust Baker Mayfield to go into a hostile environment like that in Detroit and get it done. So I'm gonna stick with the kneecaps, go to the Lions here.
Brandon is next up. He's going to take Tampa Bay. He'll take the 7 points for the Bucs to keep it a close game. That takes care of a potential for an island, at least for Jacob. If Jacob picks the Lions, then that means Brandon gets an island. Jacob, what do you think, my friend?
I was hoping to get an island. I'm going to take the Bucs. Look, it's not a knock on the Lions at all. I think these are two good teams, and when you have two good teams, that's a big number. And so I'm going to take the points. That Bucs offense also gets to play in a dome this week. And the Lions aren't all the way there yet. It would appear they have a new weapon in Jameson Williams. At some point, that offense could certainly explode. But I think this is a good test for their defense because I the Bucs have as good a group of pass catchers as there is. So it's just a tip of the cap that the Bucs are for real, that I'm going to take the points. I think the Lions win the game, but I think it'd be outside that number. So I'll take those 7 points and I'll take Tampa.
Guys, this is the very first time in our Friday football picks this year that we have had the opportunity to pick a Chiefs game. Last week, they played Thursday Night Football in the opener, and so we did not do picks until that game was actually over. So this will be the first time that we pick a Chiefs game at Arrowhead Sunday afternoon. Cincinnati comes to town. We know the history and background between both of these teams. The Chiefs are laying 6 points. I will start this round. I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I'm going to lay the 6 points. I think they win by a touchdown. I think it's going to be close. These two teams, it kind of goes against conventional wisdom because the last, I think, 3 or 4 times they've played, each game has been decided by a field goal. So I'm I'm going away from that. I'm saying the Chiefs are going to win by a touchdown. And, you know, last season, Kansas City did a pretty terrible job for the most part at covering the number from week to week. That being said, though, it's a different Chiefs team. I'm going to take Kansas City, and I'll lay the 6 points. TJ?
I don't know if I'm betting with my heart or my head here, but I'll go with my heart on this one. I think I might tease this up and take the Chiefs by even more. I think that they're going to win this one in a big way. I've argued with everybody, so maybe it's just me defending myself. I don't think that Joe Burrow is going to be the same Joe Burrow that we saw early in his career, you know, with the wrist injury and everything like that. And just this Bengals team, looking at what happened last year in week one, it doesn't look like a team that we saw a couple of years ago. I think that the Chiefs obviously want to get one more up on Joe Burrow. He's still got a 3-1 lead over Patrick Mahomes, so a lot of motivation there. And I just don't think this Bengals team is as good as those other Bengals teams that we've seen. It's the same team, but they just don't look like the same team. I think the Chiefs will win by double digits.
Wow. Well, Brandon agrees with both you and I, TJ. He's going to take the Chiefs and lay the 6 points as well. So that's, so far it's been three up and three down for Kansas City. Jacob, you are up next.
From a betting perspective, this game's a trap. It started at 7, remember, and is now, which means the sharp money is probably betting the Bengals. It's a trap. I know it's a trap. But the Bengals don't play well lately, early in the year. I don't believe they have T. Higgins for this game, so they're not at full strength. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I feel great about the Chiefs. I feel great about the Chiefs. But the game is a trap, so it's really more, you know, are the Bengals all the way there yet? No, I don't think they are. Neither are the Chiefs, by the way. Hollywood Brown's not going to play, I don't think, unless something changed in the last day. So I'm going to take the Chiefs as well because my brain just says take the Chiefs. I think the Bengals are not all the way back yet. But just keep in mind, this game is a trap.
Fellas, we are giving Paul Savage an opportunity for a Cincinnati Bengals island. Are you going to take that island, Paul?
You know something? I want to thank you guys, and I really appreciate you looking after the old guy on the show. It's really nice of you to do that. And allow me this opportunity because I can tell you right now, heck yes, I'm taking the Bengals on an island. There's a chance to pick one up. You know, 6 points is a lot of 6 points. Is Joe Burrow as good as he's been? No. But I'll tell you what, it's NFL football, and the Chiefs can still make me happy by not covering but still winning the game. That's a pretty good deal for me. I will take the island, my friends.
You know, honestly, that's not a terrible island. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the last three or four times they've played, the game has been decided by a field goal each time. So that lends, you know, some credibility to taking the Bengals and taking those 6 points. We'll see how that one pans out. One more game, our final pick, as we wrap up our Friday football picks of the day. Chicago Bears on the road in Houston taking on the Texans. It was a pretty disastrous debut for Caleb Williams a week ago, but he leaned on the Bears defense. That defense came to play for sure, and you know, the Texans look like they are probably for real. Houston laying 6.5 points. We'll start with TJ. What do you like here?
Oh, this is a tough one. This is probably one of the tougher ones, I think, on the docket, because I really like the Bears, but the Bears did not do it for me last week. Obviously, that's the definition of vanilla. What did Caleb complete? 9 passes or something ridiculous? He kicked me out of the guillotine league is what he did. I'm going to probably take the Texans. I've been big on them. I think I said that they're going to knock the Chiefs out in the playoffs in our picks we did a couple of weeks ago, so I'll stick with my guns on that one. I think the Texans can win this by touchdown.
Let's do Brandon next. So Brandon is also taking the Texans. He's laying the 6.5. So that is his final pick of the week. Jacob, you're up next.
I'll say that I reserve my right in my wallet to change my mind on this. But for these picks, and I think this is where I lean, I'm going to take the Bears. I think their defense is for real. I want to see Houston prove two things. I want to see them score on a defense like this. And I want to see them stop all these talented receivers. I think Caleb Williams is going to be better than he was in the first week. I really like their defense, though. I'll take the Bears. I'll take those points. It's the hook that's getting me a little bit. That 6.5. If it was 6, I'm not sure, but I'll take the hook. I'll take 6.5. I'll take the Bears.
Paul?
Who on this show said that it was the biggest mistake in the world for the Chicago Bears to take Caleb Williams? Well, I believe that was me. I said, I don't see any reason why I see nothing that makes me think he will be a great, great, great NFL quarterback. We've seen a ton of guys just like him who have not panned out. And he was the biggest disappointment in his first game ever. What was 80 some yards passing?
He didn't have a good debut.
Did not have a good day. Didn't even have 100 yards passing. Now he's got great receivers too, by the way. It's not like he doesn't have targets or weapons that he can use. Defense is great for the Bears. But I'll tell you what, guys, this is going to be a big disappointment. And here's the main reason why I'm saying all this. Most of the time when I watch HBO Hard Knocks, I fall in love with that team. I fall in love with those guys. I fall in love with the coaching staff. They've got great people. I did not give two hoots and you know what about the Bears after I finished Hard Knocks. And I'm telling you, that says something for me. I'm not a Bears fan because I didn't like them on Hard Knocks. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm taking the Texans. Hey, guys, you know, you may laugh at me. The Texans could be in the Super Bowl.
I don't think that's anything to laugh about. Okay. I think that, in my opinion, I think Houston is the most likely challenger to Kansas City in the conference, even above the Ravens. I'm totally a Texans believer. I'm going to take Houston. I'm going to lay the 6.5 because I just am a believer in C.J. Stroud and what they're doing with that organization. By the way, I need to make a disclaimer. For anybody that's wondering, Paul is not a paid endorser for HBO or Hard Knocks. With the number of times that he brings up that show, like every time he turns on the microphone, he is not, as far as I know, he is not being compensated for any of his remarks on that show. Do you have a deal with HBO?
No, okay. I really don't. Seriously, I do not. If I did, I'd give you a share of it.
I would appreciate that a lot. That is our picks of the week here on the Friday Football Picks. Before we take a quick break, while we still have Jacob, we're going to keep TJ on for another segment. TJ, you did reference this, and I wanted to mention it before we go to break. Our guillotine league that we're in, you organized this 32-team fantasy guillotine league with folks all over, media folks in the area around the state. You were the guy that put in the blood, sweat, and tears to get it going. You were also the first team out. What's your reaction now that you're sitting on the sidelines for the rest of the season?
It sucks. I was talking to my fiance Gabby about it, and she follows along and lives vicariously through my fantasy teams. And she's like, "So you're going to get kicked out first?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Well, at least you get to still be in it and run it for everybody else and still be a part of it."
Yeah.
I'm like, that is the worst possible outcome that it could be, Gabby. What do you mean?
Yeah, I texted you the other day. I'm like, "Hey, you can now be the commissioner that we all need for the rest of this league.
A full-time commissioner.
I love
not many
it.
Leagues have that.
Not very many.
Congratulations to that league, a full-time commissioner.
32 teams, and TJ's the first one out of 32, which that's almost as impressive as me going 0-10 for a week in our picks a year ago. So we'll keep TJ around for another segment. Jacob, enjoy the golfing this afternoon. Hit him straight. Don't three-putt. Hopefully you have some birdies out there.
It's a scramble. I'll pretend like I contributed.
Yeah, hit him long and hit him straight.
They always say drive for show and putt for dough. Hopefully that's what will happen for you today, Jacob, out there on the links. We'll step aside for a timeout on the other side. Paul returns, TJ returns. We'll talk some high school football around the area and some Ketchik, Kansas updates. That's on the way for you on Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH. I'm Tommy Caster. Paul Savage in for the remainder of the show, as is TJ Cleland, talking some high school football. Of course, we know TJ, our buddy from 12 News, was part of our Friday football picks. Of course, Ketchik, Kansas. We're through week one, fellas, of the high school football season, getting ready to get into week number two that kicks off tonight. Paul, I'm actually going to start with you because I really felt like, and this is something that you've got some knowledge on, I really felt like Wichita East made a statement a week ago, blowing out, shutting out Heights 48-0. It's going to be a pretty major matchup this evening as Northwest plays East. Northwest beat Bishop Carroll a week ago by 3 scores. And so I think it's pretty highly anticipated. I know you're very close, obviously, to that East program. First off, how was last week and the results of that game for you guys, and what are you expecting tonight against Northwest?
Did we play last week? I mean it's in the rear view.
Yeah,
mirror.
Well, I don't.
That's
true coach speak right there, Mr. Savage.
Well, good. Okay, good. Well, the point is that the focus of Northwest is on East, and of East it's on Northwest. Is what do they do? What do they do best? What are you going to stop? You know, the problem with Northwest, looking at it from from the position of East is that they do so many things, and they do so many things well. And it's hard to pick one or two things out. You do the best you can and prepare for everything that you can and everything that you think you'll see. They do a great job of moving around formations. They make you change the way you line up on defense, which is really good. Shows a high degree of coaching. So it's going to be a fun game. Listen, it may be one of the most physical games in the state. It has that possibility, and that's why you ought to, you know, whatever you're doing, come on out. If you're not interested in KU or K-State, come on out and fill the stands. I worry about, you know, not having enough people there. This is a big game, and this is for every high school in the state of Kansas. Mm. Get out and support your teams. Support your town. Support whoever you follow as, and make sure you get out and watch them. You can always record KU and K-State, but get out and support some high school football tonight.
Yeah, you know, not to bring up bad memories, Paul, but East started the season last year 0-2, and so looking to flip that script this year with a win against Northwest. TJ, obviously that's probably the most highly anticipated matchup, in the, at least in the City League tonight. Whether it's that game or another game in the area, which ones are you guys following at Ketchikan, Kansas?
Yeah, obviously that's the huge one. That's the game of the week. I know probably every media outlet in a drivable vicinity will probably be at that one. And for good reason, with, you know, obviously the history between these two teams and what happened last year with these two teams, but more so of the amount of talent that's going to be on this field is probably some of the most Division I talent you'll see between two teams all year long in this area. You know, there's going to be probably double-digit players that are going to be playing Division I football between the two teams combined, probably more than that. So going to be a great game there. A couple other good ones that we're going to be at. War on 54 tonight, Goddard versus Eisenhower going down on the west side. Last year, Eisenhower had the perfect season going. Goddard kind of pulled the upset off to win the league championship in that game, so some bad blood there. Goddard knocked off Mays week one, only held the Eagles to 3 points. So that's Goddard football, if you ever watched Goddard football. So it should be a fun one there. A couple others I got my eye on is Conway Springs is traveling to Garden Plain tonight for some small school football. It's the number one team in 1A is Conway Springs, and Garden Plain's obviously great too. If you've watched these two teams play, they play the same brand of football. They're going to run it down your throats the entire game. I would be shocked if there's more than 10 combined passing attempts in this game. It's going to be like just button heads all night long in that one. And then Andale, first time we're going to watch Andale this year. They blow out El Dorado last week. You know, they lost the nation's longest winning streak last year. They have a tough test in week two. They go to Wellington. Wellington nearly knocked off Collegiate, who's ranked in class 3A. Lost it in the final couple minutes in that one. They got a lot of talent in Wellington, and their coach is awesome down there. It'll be a big test for Andale to see if they're legit early this year.
A couple of the major matchups that we highlighted a week ago that, you know, the results of them, obviously we know now heading into week number two, Andover Central had their way against Hutchinson, beating them by 30. Derby had basically no trouble on the road at Hayes to kick off their season. But TJ, what I thought probably the matchup that stood out the most to me from week one that has me kind of wondering what's going to happen moving forward was that Capen-Andover game a week ago. Capen, of course, made the move down to 4A, and there might be a little bit of growing pains as they get used to playing in a class lower. They did beat Andover, but Andover went 0-9 a season ago, and Capen had a little bit of trouble pulling away. They only beat Andover by a touchdown. Was that outcome surprising to you?
It was surprising. I think this is a little bit of a two-way street. You know, obviously Capen doesn't have Amari Elias or you know, the Thingball brothers and a lot of the talent that they had, especially Amari Elias. That's the best running back in the state. They don't have back pretty much. So definitely just kind of relearning how what their identity is. Amari's been playing varsity football since he's been a freshman. And that was, if you're in trouble, if it's third and 15, you can give it to him and he's going to help you out. So kind of restructuring everything around that a little bit. But Weston Schartz is an awesome coach. And so they'll figure it out, I think. But also in the same breath, Andover, we watched them a couple of times last year, and they had a lot of talent. It just felt like they could never get it right. And it's like they're young, and they're a really raw team is the way to put it, I guess. But something's there. They got a new coach. I know their coach came over from campus this year. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they could pick up a couple here and there. It's going to be a better year in Andover than it was last year. They play Mays tonight. Mays just only scored 3 points against Goddard, which is saying a little bit about Goddard, but I think that could be one to watch if Mays isn't careful.
Paul, I know that, you know, obviously you will be on the sideline tonight for that highly anticipated East and Northwest matchup. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that you weren't at the game, you weren't on the sideline. As you take a look at this Week 2 slate, in your mind, are there any other games that stand out, any games that you think would, you know, are going to end up being, you know, games at least that people should, you know, go out and support?
Well, the one that, and TJ brought it up, I'm going to go ahead and reiterate, because if you said, where do you want to go, I'd go Wellington-Andale. I think that's going to be, listen, that's going to be a fascinating game, TJ, and you were right to bring that up, because we had a phenomenon happen last year, and that was Andale not Wynn State. I mean, come on now.
They lost twice to Cheney.
They lost twice to the same team. Yeah. And by the way, in coaching circles, TJ, and I know you've been hearing this, Cheney has a great coaching staff. I know you hear that from everybody, but I think it's actually true. Everybody, all the coaching fraternity here in this area has great respect for the coaches at Cheney, and I think you've heard that as well. But that's the one game.
Yeah.
Now, there's other good games. I mean, you know, the War on 54.
Of course.
I mean, of course, that would be a great one. I think that those are the games that I would like to go see. And of course, but I think, you know, everything's probably going to be overshadowed by Northwest and East. And why wouldn't it be until we figure out which one of these two are the king of the castle? We'll have.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there are a couple of City League schools that are on the road outside of the Metro. Heights travels to Topeka. You know, Campus does go to Derby, so that's a matchup in Derby, the first home game for the Panthers this year. Carroll on the road at Wichita Southeast. And then, you know, so of course, Capen plays at Wichita North as well. TJ, before we let you go, if folks are wanting to get ready for the slate of games tonight, or, you know, obviously follow the scores and the finals as they come in, what do you guys have going on at Ketchup, Kansas?
Yeah, we'll have Brandon Zinner heading out to that Northwest East game for the game of the week. We'll have Rachel up in Kansas State tonight, so we're going to have a little bit of college and high school going on, trying to multitask tonight. But we'll have Brandon live out there all afternoon from 4:30 on. After the 6 o'clock show at 6:30, if people are heading out to games, they can pull up their phone, pull up the Catch Kansas Facebook or the 12 News app. We're going to have a live show on there coming to you, the 12 News kickoff show. And it's just more in-depth coverage of that game. We're going to make picks. It's what you just saw here on the high school scene, pretty much. So it's a lot of fun there. And then, of course, Catch Kansas Show, 10:30. Scores will be up on catchkansas.com and everything in between, pretty much.
Hey, look, I'll tell you, TJ, I understand why. You don't have to explain it. I get why you don't have Paul and I on the kickoff show making picks. I mean, we're kicking your butt already in this pick, you know, on KFH. I'm sure you don't want that to happen again.
Sure. You got it right.
Well, good luck to tonight and this weekend, TJ. We appreciate it as always. And we'll, of course, talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. There goes TJ Cleland, 12 News and Catch It Kansas. Make sure to check out everything going on with the Catch It Kansas show, the 12 News app, and all of that. And, of course, we always talk high school football here on Fridays on Sports Daily. On the other side, we've talked all football on this show today. We have not talked Kansas City Royals. They start a big 3-game set this weekend on the road at Pittsburgh. We'll dive into that and what you can expect. On the other side, Tommy Caster, Paul Savage at Sports Daily coming right back.
And 1240 KFH. Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Caster and Paul Savage wrapping up the show, wrapping up a Friday. We were going to talk Royals, but some breaking news came down while we were talking high school football in the previous segment with TJ Cleland. Sources are indicating Jordan Schultz, who's an NFL insider, Matt Verdami, who writes for Sports Illustrated. Multiple sources are reporting that Hollywood Brown is being placed on injured reserve by the Kansas City Chiefs. He will undergo surgery to repair his dislocated AC joint. Apparently, after multiple imaging studies, even though Hollywood Brown felt better, the injury was not healing correctly. So it looks like that surgery is set for Monday. As far as a timeline for return, just him being on IR, Paul, means that he has to miss at least 4 games. But we're looking at, in fact, Matt Verdami from Sports Illustrated said that he's hearing that Hollywood Brown could miss a majority of the regular season, quote, a majority of the regular season. This just now coming down. Your instant reaction to this, Paul?
Hard to appreciate this information unless you've had an injured shoulder and you know just exactly what's going on with Hollywood Brown. So, yeah, not surprised. You know, Shoulders are so weird and can be so painful that I'm not surprised. In fact, what I'm surprised at, Tommy, is that so much time went between, you know, getting the surgery done and today.
Yeah.
I mean, why?
Well, and that, we were talking about that during the break. Like, why is he just now having surgery?
That's a good point.
Because he injured that joint in the first game, like in the first minutes of the first preseason game.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's because it was not healing correctly, and he felt better, but they kept doing imaging and it wasn't healing correctly. And according to Jordan Schultz, that NFL insider, he's saying that he could potentially risk a more serious long-term injury if they do not do surgery to correct it. And so this is a major blow offensively. I know that, you know, the Chiefs have been really excited about Xavier Worthy. And of course, Rashee Rice continues to look really great. They bring back Juju Smith-Schuster, but Hollywood Brown, Paul, was the prime non-draft acquisition during the offseason for the Chiefs.
Right.
And now it looks like they may not get him back for, gosh, I don't know, months maybe? We may be talking about Christmas time, around that time before we see Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, that's a real possibility. And of course, obviously, the possibility doesn't get back because it just isn't going to be ready. Shoulders are tough. Man, they're hard to deal with. You've had a shoulder injury.
Yeah, I broke my collarbone when I was a kid.
How was it? I mean, it was tough.
It was 8 weeks, in a brace.
8 weeks.
8 weeks in a brace. And I wasn't playing football. I was a little kid. So, before you can resume taking hits and putting on pads and that sort of
thing.
That's right. Who knows? I mean, of course, he's going to have rehab and he's going to have, you know, the best doctors working on him. It's a good thing we don't have much time left in the show, because if we did, I would again go off on my assertion that it was completely unnecessary and irresponsible to have Hollywood Brown on the field in the very first preseason game the way that the Chiefs did. They didn't need him. They know what he can do. I think it was unnecessary. I could talk more about that, but we're running out of time on the show.
Right.
And I was upset that he might miss the first game, maybe the second game. Now it looks like he could miss a majority of the regular season.
Right. I'm with you.
For something that doesn't matter.
I am with you 100%. No, you're exactly right on that. And it's a crying shame. But here's the other thing. There's going to be somebody that's going to step up. I mean, you've got a quarterback like
Worthy, for
sure. He's going to be Worthy. He's going to be probably the number one go-to guy.
Rashee Rice is probably number one.
Great.
By the way, they still have Travis Kelce. Like, they have weapons.
Yeah.
They're better than what they were a year ago.
You've got Patrick Mahomes.
Even without Hollywood Brown, they're a better receiving room than what they had a year ago. But you would love to have Hollywood Brown be able to help take the top
defenses.
This is a big blow. You can find out more about this online at kfhradio.com. Big blow for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got our weekend schedule, including the Royals playing a three-game set in Pittsburgh this weekend. We'll break it all down for you on the other side on KFH.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.